To illustrate something of what we're going to be thinking about tonight, let me tell you about the 1930s in America, the time of the Great Depression, when there was a man who fell upon hard times. He didn't have a job, he didn't have much savings, so he set out from the north of the USA on a steamboat on the Ohio River, and he wanted to make his way to New Orleans. And he wanted to make his way there to start a new life. So he scraped together the money that he had to buy a ticket for the steamboat, but he didn't have any money left to go to the dining hall on the steamboat to buy meals on his journey. And the journey was going to last several days. So he got hold of some bread and cheese, and he took the cheese and bread with him onto the boat. And then when the meal times came and people dressed up for dining in the dining restaurant, he would go off into a corner somewhere and he would eat his bread and cheese. And about halfway through the voyage, someone saw him at the time when dinner was being called for. Everyone was heading to the dining restaurant, but he was heading in the opposite direction, and asked, "Friend, where are you going?" And he said, "Well, I'm not going to eat in there." "Why not?" "Well, because I don't have any money. I'd be embarrassed to go into that restaurant, all those people dressed up, and I've got no money. So I'm eating bread and cheese." And the man said to him, "Look at your ticket." "What do you mean?" he said. "Look at my ticket. Look at your ticket." Because at the bottom of his ticket, when he took his ticket out, it read, "All meals included." So there he was eating bread and cheese, when actually there were lovely meals available to him. Now, it wasn't that he didn't have the right to go into the restaurant. He did have the right. He had every right to go into the restaurant with the other people. But he hadn't realized it. He hadn't, and this little phrase comes up again and again as I read through Ephesians. It makes me think of a man, and it makes me think of us sometimes and myself. He hadn't possessed his possessions. It's a picture, if you like, of what can happen. There are blessings that are spoken of here in Ephesians chapter 1. Blessings for all who believe. Blessings for every Christian. Not blessings for some special elite. Not blessings for some super Christians. Not blessings only for a select few who've achieved some sort of higher life. Here are blessings for all who believe. If you will believe tonight, blessings for you, all who trust in Jesus Christ. But so many do not realize the great blessings that are available. And Christians who do not possess their possessions in Christ. So as Paul gives praise to God, he's saying to you, if you're a Christian, possess your possessions in Christ. And he's saying, if you're not yet a Christian, these blessings can be yours through faith in Jesus Christ the Savior. Which is why this first chapter, Ephesians chapter 1, changes your life if you're able to pray it with faith to God, to believe it in your heart, to possess all that God wants to bless in Christ, and for Christians to know the hope of their calling. It changes the way we live, changes the way we pray, and it changes the heart. What does God promise in the generosity of his grace to those who believe? Paul says, God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Are you in Christ? Do you believe and trust, and have you entrusted your life to Jesus Christ? The blessing of being accepted before God in the beloved Son of God. We have been redeemed through the shed blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. Or perfect redemption, the purchase of blood to every believer, the promise of God, forgiveness of sins. Here's something that God promises all who believe. And Paul puts it like this, that God has made known to us the mystery of his will. And then also, at the end of verse 9, in the beginning of verse 10, Paul summarizes God's good pleasure, that God works out his purposes in his time at the right time. And then finally in verse 10, Paul shows us all things one day will be brought under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And if you grasp those three truths tonight, it will change and reorientate your life. So the first is this: God has made known the mystery of his will. In all wisdom and prudence, Paul says, God has made known to us the mystery of his will. Verses 8 and 9. What does Paul mean when he says, God has made known to us the mystery of his will? He's saying that God has this great plan to save Jew and Gentile, people from all the nations of the world, to save them, to forgive them, to bring them to himself through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. And God has now revealed that merciful plan of redemption for you tonight, whatever your nationality, in Jesus Christ. All who trust in Jesus Christ, wherever they are from, Paul is saying, can know the mystery of God's will, this accomplished redemption by Jesus Christ. You see, the Bible tells us every human being knows that there is a God. The existence of God is evident from creation. Even though human beings try to push that down and suppress it and distort that natural knowledge of God, but the Bible is clear, all men and women, you, me, all of us tonight, we know there is a God. And we know something of the attributes of God, his eternal power and Godhead. We all have a sense that there is right and wrong, and that God will judge the world and judge you and me in righteousness. But the Apostle Paul says, not all know the mystery of God's will. Not all know the fullness of God's redeeming plan. Here is something of the wonder of what God has revealed in the gospel. The gospel message that you hear tonight and that fell upon the ears of people in Ephesus who would not have understood it apart from the grace of God. God announces it. God makes it known. God reveals it. What a blessing is yours tonight. If you have heard and have understood God's plan of salvation, that God can save and forgive and cleanse you through his Son, Jesus Christ. If you personally entrust yourself to Jesus Christ, you can know salvation. And you also understand that by the illuminating and powerful work of the Holy Spirit. And this is a plan now that God has revealed, says Paul. Some of you have heard of that plan of salvation from your parents. Some of you heard it in a Sunday school class, some in a youth meeting, some through friends, some through a preacher. Some of you have only recently heard of God's plan of salvation, his redemption in Jesus Christ. It may be that you hear it for the first time tonight. But whenever it is, never take that for granted. That truth is something God reveals, Paul says. And we need the power and help of the Holy Spirit, because the natural man, the natural woman, does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. It is the Holy Spirit who helps us to understand and see and embrace by faith Jesus Christ as God's Saviour. Without the Holy Spirit, we don't do that. So whoever you are tonight, don't take for granted that you're hearing and you know, and perhaps some of you have known for many decades and have believed God's wonderful plan of salvation, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, through Jesus Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. Let's not take it for granted. A number of years ago, the former coordinator of the Presbyterian Church in America, the Mission for the World, a missionary organization of the Presbyterian Church in America, Paul Koistra, he was in China visiting some pastors. They were part of a large group of churches who had not been allowed to read or preach the book of Revelation by the Chinese authorities. Some of those pastors had been persecuted. Some of them had been imprisoned. Some of them had been tortured for their faith. They trusted in Jesus Christ, but there were all sorts of things about the Word of God that they did not understand, because some parts of the Bible had been held back from them by the authorities. So Paul Koistra was sharing what he thought was a very basic gospel message. And in the course of his gospel message, he spoke about the second coming of Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ, who came the first time into this world, born as Savior in Bethlehem, will come back a second time in glory as judge of the world. And one of the pastors took him by the arm and said to him, "You mean to tell me that Jesus is coming back to this world?" "Why, yes," he said, it's in the Bible." "No one has ever told me that before," said this man. Here's a man who had been ready to lay down his life for Jesus Christ. But he had not seen fully this plan of redemption in Jesus Christ. He hadn't heard that Jesus was coming back again to this world in power and glory. So don't take for granted that we have an open Bible and that you hear the gospel tonight. And some of you have heard it for many, many years. The Apostle Paul says, "God in all wisdom and prudence has revealed to us the mystery of his will, that there is salvation for all the nations." It's a life-changing truth. And at the point Paul was writing, after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, God's redeeming plan was unfolding in all the nations. Parts of that plan, by the days of the Apostle Paul, were being fulfilled, and some of it would be fulfilled in the future. God has displayed the good pleasure of his will to the praise and glory of his grace, in which he's made us accepted in the beloved, says Paul. Jesus had already come into the world and died for our sins on the cross, risen from the dead to accomplish salvation. But in terms of that personal dimension for believers, if you're a believer tonight, if you're trusting in Jesus Christ, God has already forgiven you your sins, has reconciled you to himself, and given you a new life that is secure. Life in Jesus Christ. In terms of the social dimension, God has gathered different people from different nationalities into a church and unites people together because there's one Lord Jesus Christ, and every believer is indwelt by the Holy Spirit. And in terms of the cosmic dimension, Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead. He's in heaven. He reigns. His power and authority. We lift up our eyes tonight to Jesus Christ, the mighty Saviour, to whom all authority is given in heaven and on earth. And in terms of the international dimension, God is sending out people, missionaries, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the nations. Someone was telling me this morning about someone who's giving up working here in the UK to go into a difficult part of the world to translate the Bible into a language which as yet the people there do not have the Bible in their own language. And that is going on, and it's gathering apace. So that from all the nations, there are people tonight trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a great unity, Jew and Gentile, all the nations brought to God through faith in Jesus Christ. But there is more to happen, Paul is saying. In terms of the personal dimension, if you're a believer tonight, you know we still live in a fallen world. There are times when we sin and fail. There's sickness and addiction and mental illness and much more besides. And God is causing you, if you're a believer, to continue to grow in holiness. But one day when Jesus Christ comes back, all those struggles and trials will be over. But in the meantime, we await the fulfillment of God's salvation plan. And in terms of the social dimension, the church, Christ's body, made up of people from different nationalities, but we have to grow more and more in understanding the truth and in love for one another. And in the cosmic dimension, our struggles to trust in Jesus Christ, sometimes in the life of the believer, there's a real spiritual battle. Seeking to stand firm for Jesus Christ when all sorts of trials and difficulties assail. And part of God's plan in Jesus Christ, there is an international dimension. Paul talks about the dispensation of the fullness of the times. As the gospel of Jesus Christ goes out into the world, people from many nations come to trust in Jesus Christ and know their sins forgiven. God's plan, God's purpose, to save to himself a great company which no man can number, like the stars of heaven, like the sand on the seashore. God is drawing people out of all the nations to faith in Jesus Christ and draws you tonight to himself as you hear the gospel and as you respond to him in faith. Thank God, God has made known the mystery of his will. The second thing that Paul says is God has brought his plan to pass at the right time. God has made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ. The dispensation of the fullness of the times, at just the right time. God brings you here tonight to hear his word at just the right time. The Lord brought the Jesus Christ into the world at just the right time. God, in his wisdom and prudence, brings his saving plan to pass at just the right time, at just the right place, in just the right way. And that's a vital truth for us to grasp, because sometimes we ask, why? Why does it seem to us sometimes God waits so long? After Adam and Eve fell into sin, why did God wait thousands of years before he sent his son into the world? Why did God send his son Jesus Christ into an out-of-the-way place when he was born? Born in Bethlehem. Why does God save us from our sins through faith in Jesus Christ, the one who had to die on the cross? You might have 100 questions tonight. Why? But the Apostle Paul is stressing here to trust in God who works at exactly the right time, in the right way, in the right place. God's timing. God's plan. God's way of salvation, perfect in all its dimensions. We need to realign our thinking in line with the word of God. Our conscience and our mind and our heart must be captive to his word if we are to understand God's ways and not our ways, and his thoughts are not our thoughts. The world challenges God's plan in all sorts of ways. But the people of God, they believe God has a plan. He has a purpose. This mighty providence. God works at just the right time, in the right place, at the right time, in the right way. Listen to how we sang about it in that great hymn about God's providence of heaven. The kingdoms of this world lie in God's hand. See how they rise or fall at its command, through sorrow and distress, tempestuous storms that rage. God's kingdom yet endures from age to age. David Charles, who wrote that hymn, was born on the 11th of October 1762 in Pantdyfynnin, Carmarthenshire in Wales. He was converted as a young man through reading the sermons of Ralph Erskine. He married Sarah Phillips, the daughter of Samuel Levi Phillips, who was a bank manager in Haverford West. His wife's father was a Jew who had become a Christian. And David Charles became a preacher. He preached about Jesus Christ. Here's him preaching on Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Jesus Christ gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every evil, from every lawless deed, and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. David Charles says, Jesus Christ gave himself for us. He gave himself a sacrifice for us. A surety to stand in our law place for us. He was in the manger for us. He was in the wilderness for us. He was in the presence and under a degree of the power of the devil for us. He was weary and without a place to lay his head for us. He was despised and rejected of men, smitten of God and afflicted, and it was for us. Jesus was in the garden, and on the cross it was for us. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It was all for us. You see then why he writes this great hymn. Jesus Christ coming to live the life we could not live, to die the death we deserve to die. And he says, in our lives sometimes It's like we're in the darkness. It's darkness dense is but a radiant light. It's oft perplexing ways to us. We're wondering, what is happening? What is happening in my life? It's oft perplexing ways, but trust God that he's a plan and a purpose are ordered right. Soon, all its winding paths will end. And then the tale of wonder will be told beyond the veil. God has a plan. God has a purpose for your life, Paul is saying. Just the right place, at the right time, in the right way. You need to believe that about God's providence tonight. When the diagnosis of cancer comes, when the family difficulty comes, when there are problems in work or at home or in the church, when the financial pressures come, God is working out his purposes. And to be able to believe in God's sovereign superintendence, yes, in the great plan of redemption, but in the particular everyday events in your life, it's one of the great comforts of the Word of God. Now, those who don't believe in the sovereignty of God sometimes poke fun of those who stress this sovereignty of God. And they say a joke. Well, you know what the Calvinist said after he fell down the stairs. Oh, I knew it was God's will, but I'm glad now it's over. They think we're fatalists. But God's providence is not fatalism. It's saying everything that happens in life, God is working out his purpose. So whatever is happening in our experience, there is a dispensation of the fullness of the times. Sometimes it's ways, it's oft perplexing ways. We don't understand what is God doing. But to believe there is a sovereign God who has a plan and a purpose and is working that out, it's one of the great comforts of life, Paul is saying. Believe it. Hold on to Jesus Christ by faith tonight. God has made known the mystery of his will. You can know forgiveness of sins through Jesus Christ the Savior. God has brought his plan to pass at the right time. There is a sovereign God who is working out his purposes in redemption and in your life. And thirdly, God will bring all things under the lordship of Christ. You see what Paul says at the end of verse 10. Paul has been speaking about the mystery of God's will. And he goes on to say, in the dispensation of the fullness of the times, God might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, in him. This phrase, the mystery of his will, Paul is saying, yes, in redemption, God is working out his purposes. Yes, in the individual life, God is working out his purposes. But there will come a time when in the whole moral universe of God, God's plan and purposes will be revealed, and Christ's lordship over all things for the sake of the church will be made plain. God will bring everything under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So when Paul uses the word mystery, he's not using it in the way we typically use it now. He means, here's something that was once concealed, but it's now revealed. It's being openly declared. It's being declared and shown openly now. The mystery religions around Paul in his day claimed that all sorts of secret truths, which only people who'd reached a higher level could know. But Paul says, here is something which was a mystery, but now it's an open secret. There was a time when this was not clearly understood, says Paul. But now Jesus Christ has come into this world. And in him, it's been made clear there is forgiveness of sins in Christ. God's plan and purpose in Christ and in your life is made plain. Jew and Gentile being brought together into God's family through faith in the one Savior, Jesus Christ. But there is a grand purpose of God, says Paul. This great purpose of God, he will bring all things under the lordship of Jesus Christ. So it's wonderful to know, no matter what's going on in your life tonight, that God has a purpose. Not just in your life, but in the whole world and in the whole universe, the exaltation of Jesus Christ. If you can believe tonight, whatever's happening in your life, God will bring the whole universe under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Paul puts it like this in Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? How can the Apostle Paul say that? That God is going to give all those who trust in Jesus Christ all things. How can Paul say that? He can say that because God is bringing all things under the lordship of Jesus Christ. That there's nothing that's not going to be brought under the rule of Jesus Christ one day or another. When Paul was writing these verses, where was he? He was a prisoner. He was under house arrest. He was chained to a Roman soldier. But he's free. He's a servant of the King, to whom all authority had been given in heaven and earth, and he believed one day Christ's lordship would be revealed to the whole world. So Paul knew the soldier to whom he was chained, that soldier would one day acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ, one way or another. The commander of the garrison to whom that soldier was attached, that commander would one day acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ, one day or another, one way or another. The Roman emperor would one day acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ, one way or another. All the kings of this earth would one day acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ. Every knee would bow. Every tongue confess. Some joyfully and willingly. Some joyfully by grace. Some by the force of God's judgment. But every tongue would confess Jesus Christ is Lord. And Paul is saying, you and I must believe that and grasp it tonight. President Xi Jinping, Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, Kim Jong-un, Mohammed bin Salman, Vladimir Putin, Joe Biden, Rishi Sunak, you name them all the rulers of the world. Name them all. One day, they will acknowledge the lordship of Jesus Christ. They'll either do it joyfully by grace, or they will do it under God's righteous judgment. But that is a profoundly comforting thought, that there's nothing against you in this world that will not one day be brought into submission to Jesus Christ. That's why there's only one way of salvation, and why there's only one appropriate response to Jesus Christ, to embrace him tonight as your Savior and Lord. And know all the grace and comfort of the forgiveness of sins, God's purpose in your life, and him as your King and Lord sets you free. You can joyfully submit to him tonight, or you can reject him and say, no, I will not have Jesus Christ. I will not have this man to rule over me. But one day you will submit to it anyway, says Paul, because God will bring all things under the lordship of Jesus Christ. God is making known to us the mystery of his will. He's shown us redemption in Jesus Christ and the forgiveness of sins. He's saying there is a way of knowing that your future is secure in the hands of a sovereign God. But believe tonight, whatever is happening, in all the winding paths and the perplexing ways of God, but he is bringing all things under the lordship of Jesus Christ. And every knee will bow one day. And every tongue will confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. And for those who are not in Christ, experiencing that lordship by means of judgment. But for believers to joyfully acknowledge Jesus as King, we sang of it. Jesus is King and I will extol him, I'll praise him. Give him the glory, honor his name. Angels in light, in majesty, in glory surround him. Word of the Father. The one who's been revealed to us. But if you're not yet a Christian, the only wise thing to do is to turn in faith to Jesus Christ. To trust him as Savior and as Lord. And find in him every spiritual blessing which is in Jesus Christ. God has made known, says Paul, the mystery of his will. You want to know the forgiveness of sins? Forgiveness of sins is in Jesus Christ. You want to know adoption into the family of God, to be a son, a daughter of God, and to know God as your father and have a personal relationship with him? Predestined to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ. You want an inheritance that is glorious. You want to go to heaven. You want to be with God forever. It's in Christ we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. You want to know the power and presence of the Holy Spirit, God, with you every moment in your life? It's in Christ, having believed, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So what is the wise thing to do tonight? The wise thing to do is to joyfully embrace Jesus Christ as King and Lord, the one to whom one day every knee will bow and every tongue confess. Let's believe it. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you tonight for this glorious manifestation of the mystery of your will revealed in Jesus Christ, the Savior who is drawing to himself people in faith from all the nations. And we thank you that that great plan of God unfolded in all its fullness in Christ is also worked out in our lives individually, this great providence of heaven which guards the dust of earth. But Lord, we thank you for this glorious reality that in Christ one day he is Lord of all. His Lordship will be revealed to the whole moral universe of God, and every knee will bow and every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. So we pray, Lord, that in faith tonight and in glad obedience, trusting in Jesus Christ, praising him as King and Lord, we will joyfully join with all the hosts of heaven and all the redeemed on earth to say, worthy is Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world. So we praise you. Accept our thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 We're going to sing as a closing hymn, At the Name of Jesus. It's number 304 in our hymn books. And this hymn picks up on this theme of the Lordship of Jesus Christ in all the earth. At the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess him, King of glory now. It is the Father's pleasure we should call him Lord, who from the beginning was the mighty Word. So let's stand to sing. 304.
Every tongue confessing, King of
King, eternal, immortal, the only wise God, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, be glory, majesty, power, might, and dominion, now and for evermore. Amen.